The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Jeannie Stevens reveals the simple path to peace is to stop living in the past or future.
As kingdom-minded people, we don't crave the presence of God. We just want His plans. We just want His promises. We just want His provisions. We want Him to put an email in our inbox each morning with all of the ways that life is going to unfold. And yet, none of us is going to escape this life without learning how to let go.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad you've carved out this little niche to be with us today. And you're going to be glad, too, because I have an amazing guest. Her book is called What's Here Now? How to Stop Rehashing the Past and Rehearsing the Future and Start Receiving the Present. Jeannie Stevens, it is a joy to have you with us.
Thank you, Sheila. It is such a blessing to be with you and with all of your listeners, and I'm excited about our conversation.
I am too. And before we dive into this book, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. I am married to the love of my life, 25 years of marriage. I can't believe it. I feel like I want to tell people we got married when we were 15. how could I be married for 25 years? We have two young kids that are middle school, high school, so I guess they're not all that young.
Wow.
So we're in that, you know, adolescent age of parenting.
May the Lord be with you.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. I know I'm going to make it through. I used to be a youth pastor many years ago, so I'm like, okay, I helped so many other parents. Somebody's going to come along and help me. and we pastor a church in downtown Chicago called Soul City Church. We started it in our living room about 12 years ago, and it was a handful of people, and we've just watched the miracles of God grow this incredible ministry, and we're all about transformation. We want to lead people into a transforming relationship with Jesus, and
that's
the heartbeat of our church.
The thing I love about that is so often we're keen to get people to make decisions, whereas Christ asked us to disciple people so that they know what it's like to run hard after Jesus.
Absolutely, and we're all always transforming.
Yeah.
We're all ever changing, and so that's what life in the kingdom looks like, is constantly being transformed. You know, we shouldn't look the same as we did a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We should ever be transforming. And so we want to walk with people on that journey, not just introducing them to Jesus, but learning how to walk with Him throughout their life.
Now, you said this is your first book, which is surprising to me because it's brilliantly written and there's so much wisdom. It's like a deep well. Mm. The title, What's Here Now? Unpack that for us.
Yeah, I decided to use a question because Jesus used questions.
Always.
And, you know, He asked, I think, over 300 and only answered three. and so Jesus wanted to stir the soul of people through questions.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, about 3 or 4 years into leading Soul City, which is the name of our church, I just felt like Sheila, doing the work of God was starting to deteriorate the work of God in me. I was tired. I was exhausted. I was burnt out. I was, you know, not leading people to the good shepherd. I was just leading them to this shepherd and, you know, just drained and dry. And my soul was weary. And a mentor came into my life, and I'll never forget him saying to me, I think I know what's going on here. You're not here. And I remember we were meeting in a coffee shop, and I was like, no, I'm here. I'm here in this corner bakery with you. And he's like, no, Jeannie, you're not present.
Wow.
You're either rehashing the past or rehearsing the future, and you're not receiving the gift of this now moment. And so he gave me this question, what's here now? And he just said, I want you to start asking this question. And so I downloaded this little app on my phone and had it like prompt a question, you know, periodically throughout my day. And, and I would ask this question, what's here now? And I made this commitment to myself that whenever the question came up, I would just pause, I would breathe, and I would answer the question, what's here now? And oftentimes I realized, okay, I'm either trying to change things that already happened, like in my mind, I'm trying to change things in the past, or I'm out in the future trying to control mm-hmm. all of the things that have yet to happen. And I realized, okay, if this is what's going on with me, if I'm not really here, then this might be the tension that so many others are living in, that that we're not really here in this present moment. And so I started to really begin to practice the presence of God. And what I realized is that the zip code of God, like if you want to know the location of God, it's in this now moment. Wow. Right here, wow. you and me, we're tasting the presence of God, right? Yeah. No other place to be, no other place to go, just with one another. Yeah. And that's how we experience the gift of presence. Yeah. And I realized that when I started to live in the present moment, I could actually see God. Mm-hmm. I could see myself more clearly, and I could see others. And so tasting the gift of presence was kind of this gift of how can I keep returning to the present moment. So, yeah, that's where the book came from.
How has that impacted you in the hard moments? Because I mean, the last two and a half years have been really difficult, but you've also gone through some loss and some challenges. How has this awareness of the presence of God now impacted you in those days?
Yeah. You know, I realized that there were some consistent breadcrumbs for when people rehash the past or rehearse the future. When we're rehashing the past, the signs, if you will, the breadcrumbs, blame is there. Shame, which is really, I just like to say that shame is self-hatred at my expense. Like if you spell out the word shame, self-hatred at my expense, right?
That's good.
Unprocessed grief, guilt, and trying to really be in places that you are not. And you know, unprocessed grief is a big one in my life. A bit of my story is that I've had a lot of sudden loss in my life, the sudden loss of my father. He was running in a triathlon, and we got a call that he had fallen on the race course and immediately died.
Oh my gosh.
And there was a before and an after, and that's what grief is.
Yeah.
I write about the sudden loss of my younger brother. And in the middle of the night, just stopped breathing and got a call from my sister-in-law. And, you know, quickly she just said, please come here right now. And I walked into their home and he was gone. And, you know, especially in the last 2 years that we have all walked through, we are all carrying around grief.
Yeah.
And when we don't process our grief, when we don't work through our grief has nowhere to go. And grief is actually meant to grow something in our life. It is meant to produce something in us, if you will. And grief in so many ways is another way to describe love. We've lost something that we love. And if we don't process through that loss of love, it pops out in other places in our lives. And so many people are walking around with unprocessed grief, unprocessed loss, especially from these last 2 years. And I found that those are a few of the ways that we rehash the past. And then there's all kinds of ways that we try to rehearse the future, right? Worry is a big one. And I think so many of us the last 2 years have found ourselves worrying. And worry is living in a not yet that's worse than your now, right? You're living in a fictitious not yet that you don't know if it's going to happen that way. But you're making it worse than your now. And I like to tell people, if it's not happening now, it's not happening. But so many of us, right, we're living in our not happenings. Yeah. We even have developed this term called FOMO, right? The fear of missing out, right? That there's a there that's better than your here.
Wow.
And
yeah.
so often that's how we rehearse the future, right? Through worry, through denial, through pretending. That's another one, obligation. I think, Sheila, this is a huge one for women. We are just conditioned to say yes, to live under shoulds,
so
right?
True. I have learned that no is a complete sentence.
It is a complete
sentence,
right? It is. I think that we just need to start practicing it more and more and more. No, period. But that is a tension for so many of us. And then control, trying to control everything in our lives. I mean, I am a recovering control addict, an active recovering control addict. And I think these are just the ways that we leave the present moment. And yet God describes himself as our ever-present help in trouble.
Yeah.
Ever-present.
Wow.
And to experience the presence of God, we have to learn how to be here, to be here with one another.
My husband and I were watching a program the other night. It was called Love on the Spectrum. And it's this darling program about young people who are in the autism spectrum.
Yes.
And this one girl is just stuck in her life. And when someone questions her, she says, it's anxiety. It's the what ifs.
Yeah.
What if I go outside the door? And what if he doesn't like me? What if, what if?
Yeah.
As believers, those should not control our lives.
Absolutely.
How have you seen in your, I mean, you and your husband co-pastored this amazing church. Mm-hmm. What do you see going on amongst the body of Christ?
Yeah, I think we are stuck in the what was and the what ifs. Mm-hmm. Exactly the story that you just mentioned from that program. We get ourselves stuck in a loop of everything that was. And so we're not doing the good, necessary work of healing from the stories in our past, digging in the dirt of what was and really healing those patterns, or we're getting stuck in a loop of all of our what ifs. And so we're not experiencing presence. And you can tell, right, when you're with somebody and they're present with you.
Yes,
you can tell, you know, and I think so often we get so distracted. You know, our devices are a fast way that we leave presence. Just instantly we leave presence. And I find it's so interesting, this moment in Exodus where Moses is just done with the Israelites. He's so exhausted from leading them. He's like, they complain about everything. They're constantly living in what was and the what ifs. And he says essentially to God, what am I to do? And God answers him and says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses literally responds to God and says, well, good, because I don't want to go if your presence doesn't go with me.
I love that scripture.
And yes, and he got to a point in his life where he didn't want even the plans of God or the promises of God, the provision of God. He was like, it's your presence. And I think as followers of Jesus, I think as kingdom-minded people, we don't crave the presence of God. We just want his plans. We just want his promises. Yeah. We just want his provisions. We want him to put an email in our inbox each morning with all of the ways that life is going to unfold. Mm-hmm. And yet I have realized that spiritual formation is really consenting to what is. It's consenting to reality.
Yeah.
None of us is going to escape this life without learning how to let go. Mm. Without learning how to surrender. It's the model of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we fight surrender every time. I know I do.
Yeah.
I struggle with surrender. And yet this is the way to be in presence with Jesus, to surrender to what is.
You know, I love that so much because I think I spent so much of my life trying to get everything right.
Yes.
And praying.
Yes.
I mean, I remember I had a health scare a couple of years ago and I was praying and praying and praying. And I realized at the end, what I wanted wasn't so much an answer to my prayer.
Yes.
It was the presence of Christ in the midst of what was going on that changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who's like, I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your face. Mm. I want to begin to live like this. How do I even start?
Yeah. It's why I chose to ask the question, what's here now? And I really do think that Jesus so beautifully taught it to us when he himself was asked, okay, what's the most important thing for us to know? And he pulled back to the Shema, right? He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And so he essentially said, you need to learn how to pay attention to your body, to your heart, and to your mind. And so when I ask this question, what's here now? I just pause, I breathe, and I start by saying, okay, what am I sensing in my body? You know, the amazing thing about the body is it's incapable of lying to us. It cannot lie to us. If you have a headache, there's a reason for that headache. Yeah. If you have an ache in your back, there's a reason for that ache in your back. It's not some covert message the body's trying to send. It's actually sending a very, like, understandable message to us. There is something wrong. And yet, as Christ followers, we have not learned how to pay attention to our bodies. We've denied our bodies. We haven't, like, listened to what our body is trying to say. And so I'll start with just, what am I sensing in my body? Then I'll move to my heart space. What am I feeling in my heart? And I think so many of us, we've grown up becoming so afraid of emotions. And emotions, you know, an emotion isn't asking for an answer. Mm-hmm. An emotion is just looking for healthy space to be felt. Yeah. And yet so many of us haven't learned what to do with our emotions. You know, the tendency is to fight, flight, or freeze right. when an emotion shows up that we're uncomfortable with. Yeah. And I think Christians have added a fourth to that. We try to fix it, right? And anger isn't looking to be fixed. Sadness isn't looking to be fixed. It's just looking to be felt. And so when I ask myself, what am I sensing here in my body? What am I feeling in my heart? I notice it. I name it, and then I offer some loving nurture to that. Wow. And then the final is, what am I thinking in my mind? Hmm. And, you know, humans, we have anywhere from 60 to 80,000 thoughts in a day.
Wild.
That's a lot of thoughts. And not all of those thoughts are helpful thoughts, right? And so often I think we take that passage, you know, take captive every mm-hmm. thought and make it obedient to Christ. I think for many of us, we're letting our thoughts take us captive.
Yeah.
And our thoughts are controlling our lives. And I think one of the things that we can begin to do is just notice our thoughts and not, you know, I like to think of my thoughts almost like planes flying over my head, right? And so many of us, we just clear every thought for landing. And no wonder our brains are so congested with thoughts. And
so
God essentially has said, you're the air traffic controller. You don't have to clear every thought for landing. And so for us, we just go, that thought isn't true. That thought isn't helpful. That thought isn't pure. That thought isn't kind. That thought isn't filled with the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not going to clear that thought for landing. And that's really the simplicity of coming back to the present moment. What's here now? What am I sensing in my body? What am I feeling in my heart? What am I thinking in my mind? And you can come back to this now moment then.
One of my favorite parts of the book is where you start receiving the present. I was trying to, my husband and I were talking about it this morning after I'd read your book, and we were talking about how much time we've spent going over things from the past. And I mean, obviously there's a, as you say, you need to deal with them and receive healing or thinking about, well, what if? But there's something, the gift of the present and the gift of Christ in the present is really life-changing. So when people finish reading this book, what is your prayer, Jeannie, that would have happened in them?
I love that question, Sheila, because to sit down and to write a book, you know this.
Oh, I
mean, it's so much energy, and authors pour their hearts and their souls into these words, right? And so I certainly am not just hoping, you know, that somebody picks it up and says, oh, that was a great, great book. My hope and my prayer is that people learn how to return to the present moment and they experience God. They experience God. They experience what it means to be fully alive, to be here, to be fully themselves, and to belong to one another. You know, I think that is what we are craving with one another. We are craving connection. We are craving authentic vulnerability. And we are craving belonging. We just want to know, do you see me? I think that's the deepest human desire. Do you see me, and do you love me? And when we come back into the present moment, you know, the present is the only place to experience love.
You wow, that's a great thought.
You can't go back to your past and experience love. You can't go out into your future and experience it. And God is, of course, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the only place to taste the presence of God is in this now moment. It's the only place to actually experience the movement of God. You know, you're not going to experience the movement of God in your past, or, you know, he will, of course, be there in your future. But if you want to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, you have to come into this moment. So my prayer is that people will learn how to live here, to be here, to be themselves, and to fully belong to one another.
Our world is longing to see what that looks like. As you can tell, Jeannie is a deep well. There's so much wisdom, and it's almost like It's like a roadmap she's left for each one of us. And I'm going to tell you how you can get hold of your own copy of Jeannie's book. But first of all, I want you to watch this. There's something, it's a little early, we're not close to Christmas quite yet, but there's some things we do here at Life to make sure that when Christmas comes, there's some people around the world who know there's a God and He sees them. Watch this.
This season, Life Outreach wants to continue spreading joy and smiles around the world. We do this in very special ways. We provide shoes for children's feet and corrective surgery for those who suffer from a cleft palate or cleft lip condition. Not only is receiving shoes fun for the children, but it is a blessing for the mission team.
It's been quite an amazing year. I mean, you've helped us change the lives of children all around the world. You know, at Christmas time, I know that you think of your kids and you want to do something really special for them. Well, I also know that you want to do something really special for children like these. And to be able to give each one of them their own pair of shoes is amazing. Not just because it'll save them from cutting their feet when they run, but so many diseases in these countries come through injuries to the foot, like hookworm comes through the foot. So what a wonderful thing to do in this season, to say to little ones, you can have your very own pair of shoes.
As for cleft palate surgeries, did you ever think that a trip to a hospital would bring a smile to the face of a little child? Well, it can once they've had corrective surgery for cleft lip or a cleft palate. Our mission teams travel to remote locations in various countries to bring children like little Dwee to modern clinics like these. Here they receive the best of care, all because the friends of Life, moved by compassion, make it possible. As this Christmas season approaches, we want to continue to bless children around the world by providing them with a new pair of shoes and corrective surgeries that give them a chance for healthy and fulfilling lives.
I love those faces. I love seeing those smiling faces on those children getting their first pair of shoes, and also those darling little ones who have that reparative surgery that basically gives them their life back. Now, I know it's a little bit early to start talking about Christmas, but we do it very intentionally at this time of the year so that we're able to get everything in order to make sure that help gets to where it needs to get to by Christmas time. And we want you to be part of it. It's one of the most amazing things to think that something like this, a shoe that costs, we get it for $3.60, could literally save the life of a child. But as the piece said, often the illnesses come through cuts in the foot and then hookworm, and it can do all sorts of things. Children can end up malnourished because of the hookworm. It can even get into their brain. But we have these amazing doctors on the ground who are able and willing to do a surgery for $500. In so many of these countries, when a child is born like that, either with cleft lip or cleft palate, it's seen almost as a curse from God. And they're ostracized, they're held back. Also, a child like that can't eat properly and they end up malnourished. $500 is like saying, here's your life back. What a joy to be able to do that. And also, for any gift at all, this is our little shoe this year. We always have a new one every year, and this is a lovely scarlet shoe. And you hang it on your tree, and it'll remind you to pray for these children. So we have made a commitment that by Christmas, we're going to be able to provide 150,000 pairs of shoes. That'll be 150,000 children who'll have the very first pair of shoes they've ever had in their life. And here's how that kind of breaks down. For $36, you can provide shoes for 10 children. Think about that. Think of the money we waste at Christmas time, but that would give 10 children, you know, covering for their feet so they can run around and be like children. $72 will give shoes for 20 children, and also $1,000 will either provide 275 pairs of shoes or two corrective surgeries. What a joy at this time of the year as we look forward to the Advent, to the coming of Christ. See, here's the thing. A pair of shoes for a child in a country like that can give them their life back. But what we're celebrating at Christmas is that Christ came. He came to give us an access, a way back to the Father, so that we can have our life. So let's go against our culture. Our culture tells us we need more and more and more stuff for ourselves. No, we don't. Our treasures are laid up in heaven where no one can touch it. Let's make sure that this year we're going to give and give and give because we have been given to. Please go to your phone. Dial it. Make the very best gift you can. Go online. Let's make this Christmas all about Jesus. And because it's about Jesus, it's about us giving. Thank you.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you for doing that. Keep calling if the lines are busy. And for any gift at all, you can ask for Jeannie's book, What's Here Now. I mean, honestly, Jeannie, I want to thank you for the way you've poured so much of your life into this and the wisdom that God has taught you through the years. And so I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. And thank you for the gift that you are to me and to so many others, to inviting us into this life of walking with Jesus in the kingdom of God. You are just a sage, and I have benefited from who you are. Thank you.
Doesn't get any better than this. We love you, and we will see you next time on Life Today. Thanks for being with us.
I believe those infrastructures are actually crumbling and cracking right now. They're shaking, and we need to have hope and have faith that God has no rival.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.